This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Mysteries, the podcast where we decide if history is a hit or myth.
In general?
Yeah,
just review history as a block.
I'm your host, Kieran Bartlett, and this is your co-host, Shane Todd.
Yeah, a probably better way to describe it is we look at a specific subject and decide whether we think it's a hit or a myth. Yeah. Do we think it happened? Hit? Myth? Bit of a spoof.
Where is it if it's in between, right? So today's episode is sponsored by Drapewear by Kieran Bartlett. This is a new knitwear. I'm only joking. Today's episode is about the Battle of Thermopylae, Shane, 480 BC. This is the famous battle of the 300 Spartans, or 300. The movie you may have seen, the graphic novel you may have read.
Did you see the movie? I don't know whether I said this on this podcast before, but I got really into the movie.
I think it
came out when we were like 16 or something. Yeah, 16. And
a wee bit older.
You're older
than me. I was already at uni when it came out.
I'm really into this movie at the time when it came out, and I had a 300 t-shirt.
That's cool.
It's not.
It is.
I know you're still doing that, but
what was the t-shirt though? Because this is important. Tell me it wasn't a six pack on it.
No.
See, I had that and it stretched.
Yeah. But if I wanted to show that, I would have just taken my t-shirt.
Well, see, I have more of a family multi-pack, so you can't.
The t-shirt was brown, and it said 300, had the logo on it, and above the logo was all the wee men getting kicked into the well, and they went and trailed down the t-shirt.
That was good, that bit in the movie, wasn't it? This is Sparta! And he spits everywhere, and then fucking...
Because that trailer... blew everyone's mind.
The trailer was amazing, and it did look like the graphic novel. I have issues with the movie.
I think the movie was good.
I have issues with it.
We'll get into it.
So
the, by the way, the only thing I know about all this is the movie.
Right, okay. Have you seen the old movie that's called The 300 Spartans? We'll have a picture of that, Dan.
No.
This was out in, I want to say, 1962. Now, my dad told me, this is true, my dad saw this movie in 1962, starring Richard Egan and Sir Ralph Richardson, right? And my dad went to the cinema or whatever in Belfast and saw this, and then told me about it when I was a kid and told me all about this battle. And so, I mean, pre-secondary school, he told me about this battle and about the importance of, you know, using geography to your advantage in war.
You thought you'd need that?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, here, if you're ever getting taken on by five guys in a pool room, Kieran, you know, take the cue, take one of the balls in your hand, get in the corner, fucking bait. Anyway, he didn't. But anyway.
Dan, edit a clip where Kieran's like, if you ever get stuck in a room with five guys, and then get Kieran doing
just
what he was doing.
Just bait, right?
Working the balls on the cue.
So he... He basically told me all about this story, and I was fascinated by it. And then whenever I went to secondary school, in first year in history, we learned about two things. We learned about the Normans, and we also learned about the Greeks, and we learned all about Sparta, and this was part of it. And
I can picture your face as you turn round to your classmates and your teacher. And the teacher, we're going to be learning about ancient Greece, and you say, "Sir, let me stop you there. I'll take it from here."
I was like, you know, today we're going to be learning about the Battle of Thermopylae. Has anybody heard of that? And I'm like, weak hand goes up. Anyway, as it says here on the Thermopylae poster.
I bet you shouted objection in history class a lot.
I would shout conjecture. Conjecture!
Permission to approach the bench.
As it says here. Mighty battle epic of a handful of men forming the invincible flying wedge against the killer horde, 5 million strong. Now, that's a big number.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the main historical source for this is not my dad. It's Herodotus, the godfather, the grandfather of history. Let's get in. Herodotus. Greek historian, right? Let's do now. At the risk of the lamp coming on here, let's think about what history is and what history actually means.
I bet you said this to your history teacher.
I have. I've said this. The word history comes from a Greek word, hysteria, which is to do with an inquiry. So it's different from just like an account. You're actually, there's causality. You're inquiring into what happened, but also how and why, right? So it's all to do with causality. It's a different way of writing. Now, that's pretty good, Dan. That's pretty good.
Anyway,
the light of Zeus.
Fossy sack. The light of Spavian just got real. Holy shit.
I was mad. So Herodotus writes in a different way to some history. So Roman writers...
Well, he does it with the trousers and pants off.
Yeah, yeah. He types standing up. So like...
See, when you type, do you just hit one key at a time with your fist?
I actually have a keyboard on the ground. I just dance around. So it takes ages for me to do 100 words. But anyway, the Roman style of history.
A, B.
The sort of Roman style of history around this kind of time, the 5th century BC and slightly later, was like what you call like res gestae, like a report of facts, a report of like deeds, the deeds of men. But history is about inquiring, right? So Herodotus is the godfather of that style of inquiry, and then about 80 years after this battle, Thucydides, who was an Athenian general, wrote the history of the Peloponnesian War, which is a history of a war between Athens and Sparta, which actually does go back about 50, 60 years before. That war started in the 420s, but there was a period like a Cold War that kind of started among the Greeks after.
Was it not in Greece?
I see what you've done there. A cold war between Athens and Sparta that comes after the second defeat of Persia. So, and Thucydides then becomes the real, like, this is how history should be written sort of guy.
Persians Iran, right?
Modern day Iran. So, anyway, let's get into this a wee bit. So,
you tell me.
This is in 480, the Battle of Thermopylae, but we do have to go back to 490. Right, so in 490...
Hold on, it was 480 and we're going back to 490?
Yeah, BC, you have to count backwards. I know, right?
Can barely count forwards.
This is it. So this is the... Oh, shit. Oh, man, I'm excited. I love this. This is the classical period of ancient Greece, right?
Right.
Classical Greece. I did this at Queen's. I was erect for 3 months. I loved this. I loved this. First year Queens. Other people were coming in hating it. Mate, I swear to God, see everything you've ever thought about me being like an actual nerd. I would stay sober to go into these classes. I loved it. I say that as if, like, you know, the rest of the week I'm bombing here. But I mean, like, I would rarely go.
Hunter S. Thompson?
These classes were at 9 a.m. Do you know what that's like for me?
Oh, shit.
And I mean, that means getting up at 7 to get in the Queens for 9.
Could you mention more times you went to uni?
Uni, Queens.
Your email address is still your uni email address, the worst thing ever.
Do you know the shittest thing about that is sometimes if there's a problem with the uni server, it goes down. Gmail won't do that to you. But anyway, I absolutely love this. My dad, God rest him, genuinely, what a guy, taught me about this when I was a kid. But then also, when I was at university, wait to hear what a hero this guy was. He would read the same stuff that I was reading at this time, so that we had something to talk about in the car. Not as if, like, that sounds wrong.
That sounds wrong.
It sounds wrong. It sounds like the rest of the time we're just sitting like that.
Yeah, when you were doing maths, he's like, fuck, I better read a bit of algebra. So,
here, Jim knew about maths more than I did, by the way. He was an engineer. Anyway, he hated my maths. My dad would have said to us stuff like, well, if it takes one of you an hour to do dishes, how long does it take four of you? And we'd look at each other and be like,
15 minutes.
4 hours. You know what I mean? Right. My dad would be like, he's not so thick. Anyway.
So you guys could have any sort of conversation.
We would chat about this, and he would drive me to uni and all some days, which was extremely dead on of him. Anyway, what a guy. We went, oh, that is so dead on. Doesn't happen.
You've given like a genuine heartfelt tribute to your dad. You're like, God rest him. Sometimes this guy gave me a lift.
Do you know what? No. It was always good. Oh, fuck off, right? I loved it. And then sometimes I would go with my mate Kev. We would go to uni because he did ancient history, but also worked with me in Tesco and played football with me. We were in each other's pockets, right? Anyway, it was a great time in my life. I have fond memories.
More than
the Kooks, Inside Out, Inside In, that album. Yeah. I was just out. Bangers from fucking front to back. 490 BC, come with me, right? The Persian, now let me remember this, Achaemenid Empire, that was the
Persian Empire?
Yeah, that was their, the dynasty that was in place. In
used to be a great Chinese in Hollywood, the dynasty.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought, right, okay.
Just dynasty, no, the dynasty.
Right, just dynasty.
Dynasty.
Robert the Dynasty. So
what
anyway.
Would call it dynasty?
I would call it dynasty. So, actually, I wouldn't, I'd call it dynasty. Anyway, so we went. The Persian Empire at this time is ruled by a guy called Darius, not Darius the
Feeling Dinesh. Blue.
Color blood. R.I.P. by the way.
Feeling yellow. I'm confused inside. A little hazy but mellow. Yeah. See, if you bought that single, do you know what the B-side was? A live version of Darius doing Bootylicious.
Was it? Oh my god.
That's too bootylicious for you, babe.
I am not ready for your jelly, Darius. No. That's mental. Do you remember he became famous for doing that version of Baby One More Time?
Hit me, baby, one more time. So, Darius Dinesh,
is the colorblind leader of of the Persian Empire, 490. Comes up with the idea of heading west to conquer Greece. And the Greeks, Greece at this time, broken into what you call a single polis, but polis, like city-states.
They're not the people that arrest you, bro, no?
City-states, so like, you know, the city of Athens is like a whole state, the city of Sparta is like a whole state, and they're independent. You need to nearly think of those as nations.
Is Sparta in Greece?
Yes.
Is it still going?
Yes.
Really?
No, it's not going in the same way, but there is a place you can go to called Sparta, look, yeah. So, obviously, so Athens is in Attica, and Sparta is in Lacedaemonia. Oh, put that on my hole, right, anyway.
When was the last time you heard of someone just going to Sparta? Me and RJ, we're nipping on our holidays here, we're going to Sparta.
I was meant to go to it on that ill-fated trip to Greece. 2007, forest fires, lasted 3 days, don't even talk to me about it, didn't travel.
And the great loss, of course, was Kieran Bartlett not being able to go.
I would have loved to have gone. Do you know what I did get? I did get to go to the Parthenon, which was unbelievable. Sweet. And we get taken round up by
the sauna, by the way.
By the head of the project to restore it. It was fucking brilliant. Anyway.
Such shit.
It was fucking brilliant. You couldn't get into it at this time, and you're a dick. Anyway. So, at this time, so I think we have a picture of Darius there somewhere, Dan. He's a great look. So we'll have two pictures of Darius. There's the one from the movie where he's an absolute gimp. Oh, sorry, no, it's two of Xerxes. I think we definitely have one of Darius, though. That's not him. Hold on. That's him there. Or no, is that Xerxes? Right, anyway, right, we'll get there. Fuck Darius, right?
Fuck.
Darius was the leader of the Persian Empire, right?
Right.
Comes up with an idea, let's go to Greece, let's conquer Greece, that's a good thing for us. And when all these Greek city-states that were previously separate, and even some of them at war with each other, they united. This is a what you call a pan-Hellenic alliance. So all of Greece unites to fucking go, here, we might hate each other and we have problems, but we're all Greeks. Because there's sort of two races of Greeks, if you like. There's the Ionian Greeks and the Doric Greeks. So the Spartans are the Doric ones and Athens are Ionian Greeks. Now, they were previously sort of all at war with each other and different at different moments, but they all went, here, fuck Darius, right? So Darius comes in. This is when the famous Battle of Marathon happened. Well, Pheidippides was the guy who ran the original marathon, so he ran the 26 miles from Marathon. Do you know this?
No, I thought you were making it up.
No, that's why it's called a marathon. So he ran, this is true, Pheidippides basically ran from Marathon, I think, back to Athens, and told the Athenians, here, the fucking Persians are coming now, be ready for this.
He had to wait for a Strava to load before he told them. It's like 2 seconds here.
Pretty sure he died then immediately.
He did. He basically got there and went, they're coming.
Big man got a sub 2 hour and then just
yeah, right. PB.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
HPV, historical personal best, right? So he fucking sprinted and he died, right? And the Athenians then, everyone was ready and they hit Persia hard and beat them, and the Persians retreated. And 10 years then went by of the Greeks sort of all being like, nice one, lads, still don't like you, but whatever. And then, but here, fuck Persia. Then Darius dies and his son, Xerxes, this guy. So this is the one, that's what he actually looked like, probably. Yeah. Persian guy, nice, tight curls. And then come and see the GIMP photo from the movie 300. Now, I always think what they're doing in 300 is to look at that. Like, I mean, yeah.
By the way, historical sexy bastard.
I would say he looks like somebody that's going for a night out in West Belfast.
Yeah.
Or coming back from a hard night out in West Belfast. He's been to the Felons. He doesn't even know who owns them chains.
In the movie, he speaks like that.
He does. I always think what they're going for with him is, let's make him weird. And when I say foreign, I mean like foreign to what we think of as a king being. So, like, try to make him seem alien and weird, because that's what he was to the Greeks. Mm. I'm not saying let's make him, like, a foreigner.
Foreign people are weird?
Xerxes was like
you said foreign people are weird?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. we should protest outside that hotel in Bangor. Now, don't do that. Don't be a dick. Anyway, so Xerxes wants to come back to Greece and pick up where his father failed.
Right.
And defeat the Greeks and conquer Greece and fucking be the basically thought of himself as a god, right? So around this is 10 years later, this is 480 now, right? So the Greeks form another pan-Hellenic alliance, and at the head of that is the Greek the Athenian leader Themistocles, great speaker and leader of men, this guy. Check, mate, side profile much?
Did he get eaten by a pigeon?
I rarely say this about somebody, but this is a HSH, historical sweet helmet, right?
He looks like, by the way, that does look like the tip of a cock on his head.
It does look like the head of a cock.
Mine.
But
the thing is, that looks like a hipster DJ album cover.
Looks like Glenn Hansard's next album. So he's so Themistocles comes up with the idea of saying, right, the Persians are en route. And by the way, so in Herodotus, in the histories of Herodotus, one of the things that he talks about in great detail,
Herodotus
is the demographic makeup of Xerxes' army, right? Which is mental. Like, they've said 5 million strong. I think the numbers are inflated.
He's outsourcing a lot.
Mate, basically, if you imagine from Iran right through to Greece, he's picking up mercenary armies on his way. He's paying them all. They're all getting fed. And then Herodotus, it literally goes into the detail of, like,
There's a few quid and a dinner in this for you.
Yeah, yeah. We'll stick yous on a feed, right? See if somebody ever asks you to do a gig of any kind, music or comedy, and they go, and there's a feed for you. Go, don't give me a feed. Give me the money you would spend on that. Give me...
Fee, not feed.
Fee, not feed.
We'll give you a 7-course meal, a bottle of champagne. And give me 40 quid. Give me the 40 quid.
So, because I'll spend it. I'll spend it better than you will. Yeah. I don't want 7 courses in fucking... I know, where do we go? I don't want 4 courses in Randallstown. I want the McDonald's on the way home and £35 left over to do what I want. Anyway.
Yeah.
I want to.
Did you spend the £5?
I was going to say. 2 double cheeses, like, that's all I get.
Yeah.
For breakfast. Now, so we.
The first time round?
Driving to the next one. Do you remember me? Anyway, so.
You still have a different pair of glasses on? Hello, I'm a different man.
coming in with the glasses and the dogs on. Come around next time I'll tell her I'm a head makeup. Anyway, so Herodotus goes into like a lot of detail about like, oh, he had archers from here and this is the way they dressed and this is the way they got on, and he had fucking cavalry from here and this is the way they did. It's a very long report, and in the old movie they do a fair bit of like all these different people walking past and they're like, oh, the archers from wherever and the fucking infantry from, right, whatever. Great times. Themistocles comes up with this great idea of, let's use our collective different military skills to defeat these people. So Sparta, let's talk a wee tiny bit about Sparta. Sparta is like the home of Greek hoplite warfare, right? So the we'll have a picture of a hoplite here, Dan. The hoplite is the name of the shield. Spartan, it might be Spartan JPEG there, Dan. Yes.
Right.
So
it's a big shield.
Yeah.
And
so
Shimpat?
The shield, yeah. So you get greaves, you get the helmet, you get the shield, you get the big ass fucking spear, and Spartan you get a small a short sword called a Ziphos, right? A Kizifos, right? Let's just call it Ziphos, though, for ease of speech. So, and the way hoplite warfare would work was these guys would stand, you nearly lock the shields together so it forms like a wall, and then you can fucking poke the spears through the holes, right? And it's extremely fucking hard cardio, but also hard to break through, right? So, like, the guys doing it are hard as nails, and every time there was a little lull, the front line will go to the back and the next guys come forward and fucking, right? So this is how Sparta was the best military, like infantry state out of all the Greeks, because, and this is important, the Spartans were the best because they lived in like a siege military mentality all the time. So the Spartans had slaves, right, a lot of them that were called helots, and like literally thousands of helots for every one Spartan, right? So the group at the top in Sparta was called the homoioi, right, which is homoioi, like the equals, the samesies, and then there was a group in the middle that were sort of not really helots but not really Spartans called the perioikoi. I am literally pulling this out of my dick hole from first year ancient history, which I studied at Queen's University. Now, my dad was dead on. And we HGD, historical good dad, right? And
you give me a lift.
So if you imagine...
Beat me with a belt every day.
Spartan society. Wouldn't talk to me unless it was about history. Spartan society is like a pyramid, right? So at the top, you have a small group called the homoioi.
Right.
In the middle, a bigger group called the perioikoi. And then the most powerless group, or the most numerous, called the helots, right? But so in order to rule the helots, the Spartans fucking trained all the time in military warfare, like in tactics and physical fucking training. So when you were 7, you were a wee boy, you would go away to a thing called the Agogi, which was like the fucking, like a military Chumber barracks. School. It was a barracks, and you were there from you were 7 until you were like fucking like an adult. And you trained every day. You would wrestle, you would fight, you'd learn tactics, all this. But you're trained, you're basically a full-time soldier from the time you're 7, right? So when the Greeks, the rest of the Greeks are more like, apart from the Athenians, are more like, we train a wee bit to defend our state, but we're not full-time soldiers. Like,
so it's like,
and they do that in the movie. They do a good bit in the
Spartans are professional footballers, and the rest of Greece, they just play five-a-side once a week.
That's it. That's it, right? So it's basically, they do that in the movie in 300, where I think Leonidas, Jerry Butler, says to somebody, you know, and you, Theban, what are you? What, you know?
I'm a potter,
and he's like, I'm a fucking warlord.
No, he goes, I'm a potter, and then he asks someone else, you know?
He's like a shepherd or something.
Yeah, and then he says, Spartans, what is your profession? And they go, how? How? I don't know if they're good.
People are like, that's quite unclear.
they go, we're full-time Spartans.
So that's why the Spartans are the best infantry. So Themistocles, Athens are the best naval nation. Just picking their belly buttons. No, they're the best. They have the best navy. And this is true of this whole period. For like a couple of hundred years, Athens was a naval power. They had trireme ships, which are like three rows of rowers. And at the front of the ship is like a big fucking spike, like a big metal ram that you would fucking like literally fire the ship into another ship and fucking punch holes in it and sink it. They were the best at this. So Themistocles says, let's defeat the Persians, let's hold off their army coming in at the top. So we have a map, Dan, of where Thermopylae is, the relief location. So, well, that's fucking annoying. See, so, right, Dan, bring the cursor down a wee bit and in. See, over to the right, then. Thermopylae is basically around, just down a wee bit. See, like, in the next inlet there, in around there, right? So the Persians are coming across the Aegean, and they're going to invade northern Greece from there and come down then into the... So this is, see this bit then, this big bit down at the bottom?
Yes.
That's the Peloponnese. That's where Sparta is. Right. And then see the other bit there down over to the right? That's Attica. That's where Athens is, right? Right. So, and then that bit in the middle is the Isthmus of Corinth, and that's where Corinth is. So anyway, so the Persians are coming in from there. Themistocles says, let's hold them off at Thermopylae, which means the hot gates. And it's
remember that from the movie?
It's basically a pass that they need to get through. We can bottleneck them there, and let's also simultaneously fight them at the battle of Artemisium, right? So, which is a slightly more open battle, but all the Greeks are going to go there. They know because of the geography, it'll be like a force multiplier for the Greeks where they go, we can send fewer people there and hold them off there.
Right.
We'll send every other cunt to this bit in Artemisium now. Leonidas, give us a picture of him, Dan. He's the fucking one of the two kings of Sparta.
And that's a historical picture, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what he looked like. So, what a fuck here.
Because at the age of 7, you go away to learn to be a soldier and photography.
Yeah, yeah. And you learn how to fucking do sit-ups, mate.
What shape he got into for that? Like?
Mate, all of them.
Do you remember everything after that? It was like the Spartan workout.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to do the Spartan workout plan. You were 16.
I was too busy sitting reading Herodotus and eating crisps. Yeah. Mate, look at these. This is the actual picture of the battle. This was painted in the 1800s by some cunt, Jean Louis.
This looks like my stag.
Mate. I can't imagine that they just dandered in with a shield and their wee fucking jimmies hanging out now.
Yeah.
There's just no way that happened. But
they did used to train and all.
They did, but like I think they would have had something on, like some armour. Like
anything I've read, it's like, nah, they let it all go. Like in their training, they'd go for like a 10K run, just let it all hang out.
Bollock naked? Shaving time off that PB?
Yeah, fucking right. Like you're not carrying a second skin even, right? So, like, do you know what's clear, though? Big beards. HBBs, historical big beards.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with HBB, historical bad bastard. Now.
Yeah. But no moustache for the Spartans, is that right?
Oh, really? I don't know about that.
I heard that they would shave the moustache to keep the beard, but...
Interesting.
That's a weird move. The reverse Freddie Mercury?
Yeah. sounds like a physician, to be fair. So, I like it! So, that's my favourite Queen lyric. Anyway, so they go to Thermopylae, right? So this is where we get into talking about, was it really 300, right? So the plan, it's a bottleneck. So the plan is to jam that bottleneck with Spartan hoplites, and it'll mean however many abreast they are, like, I can't remember the actual number, 10. But like 10 people, I think it is, right, across, and that's the bit where everyone has to come through. Well, the Spartans fancy their chances against that then, because they know they'll just fucking bait off whoever comes in, right?
But surely, like, I get their tactics. Surely that's going to take a long time.
It will. So it took a few days, right?
Why are people not going over the top, too?
What do you mean?
Like, why didn't they, like, catapult themselves over the Spartans and attack them
from the
back?
I don't know that you'd catapult people at this time. You know, HJP, historical jetpack. So basically what's happening is, and here, see Xerxes, arrogant as fuck. Like, here, this is no problem. We're going to steamroller these cons. How many of them are there? 300, sir. Fucking get in there.
Sounds
right?
Like a lie. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, how many, there really? There's 300.
Yeah.
Saying 400. You know what I mean?
Well, this is the thing. There's actually 300 homoioi, right? The top level of Spartan. And what, including the king, Leonidas. Now, Sparta had two kings always, because one would go off, one would go fight, and the other one would keep the
council,
the city alive, right? Now, this is something I didn't like in the movie, was the ephors in Sparta, who are like the elders, the people who advise.
They were weird in the movie.
They're literally monsters in the movie. Like,
dirty
and
bastards.
They're like all creepy and all, and they're just fucking people, right? Now, anyway, so...
He had to climb to the top of the mountain, didn't he?
Yeah, it's all
to
weird.
To meet the guy, Leonidas.
Yeah, it's all weird and all, right?
What so do you bring me?
Fucking five Robert the Bruce's dads up there. Yeah. Weird, right? Just weird. So that was like a wee council of E4s.
HBR, historical back reference.
So Leonidas takes the 300 Spartans, but here... He also took some perioikoi and some helots. So every Spartan, I think the ratio is basically 3-1 or 4-1 fucking helots to Spartans that they brought with them. So, and then they met other Greeks on the way. So it wasn't really 300. It was probably more like 4,000, right?
Also, the
still not a lot, though, against the... Like, probably 300,000 of Xerxes.
The 300 he took with him were meant to be his personal guard.
Yeah,
which
like
was like 300, but apparently they changed it. He took different people because every man who went had to have a son, had to be married and have a son.
Yeah, so that their bloodline would go
right,
on, right?
They thought.
Because they basically know it's a suicide mission, right?
Right.
But this is good for Spartans. The die in battle is good and all that stuff about,
the
you
dream
know,
of it.
You know, and I hate when the woman says it in 300, where she's like, come back on your, come back with your shield or on it. You know, fucking get back here.
Come
and
back
won.
On it.
Come back and you've
on
won
the beers.
Or come back fucking on it. Right.
It just shows up with two smyrny ices.
I'm on it. They bugger off. They get there. They get to Thermopylae and they fucking mount this blockage at the breach, right? And on the first day, they fucking kick everyone's cunt in, right? Now, in the movie, they have scenes of, like, Fassbender and stuff breaking out of the hoplite line and fucking spearing people left, right? I would say that, veering towards myth, and it's great for a movie, but the whole point of this warfare is that it's just a slog. It's just a nightmare, and
right.
It's so hot. And you're just spearing cunts, right? Now, on the first day, they fucking defeat people, and Xerxes is like, don't worry about it, lads, we've got this. Walking yeah. Risotto, I got this, right? And he's like, don't worry about it, we're gonna fuck, we'll do them tomorrow. We'll see them tomorrow, they'd be knackered.
Yeah.
Right? Second day, Leonidas and the boys fucking...
So Xerxes is looking at them like kids at a birthday party at a wedding on the dance floor.
They'll like, sleep at night.
They'll tear themselves out. Don't worry about that. By 9 o'clock, they'll be sleeping.
But that same kid who's running about the dance floor is secretly baiting Kaylee sugars into them.
Right.
And it's just fucking going to go all day the next day, right?
Yep.
Baiting the fucking Red Bull in. So, second day, fucking spear to fuck, and Xerxes starts going, he's fucking serious? Like, are you fucking serious?
Because wasn't that apparently, like, and it's in the movie too, the one big difficulty they had was removing the dead bodies.
Yeah.
Because it's such a small area and they're killing that many of them.
Yeah, so like overall casualties in 4 or 5 days here. I'll get there. Sorry. So So what happens then is...
There was like two parts of your brain talking to each other there.
I know, sorry.
Overall casualties of 4 or 5 days. I will get there, sire. Please.
I like the way...
Grab me more time.
The second half of my brain responds to the first half. Like you're playing like a strategy game. When you click on somebody and they say, you know, yes, sire. I love playing commandos, and there's an Irish guy.
I love going commandos.
And you click on him, and he has a couple of ones. So he has one where he goes, coming over. And then you click him again, he goes, I'm coming. Unbelievable. And the English sapper, when you click on him, he goes, yes, sir. I love that. I come every time he says that now. Commandos. So third day happens and Xerxes is starting to get fucking...
It's like a stag. First day was brilliant. Second day, you had a ride with somebody.
You're counting the days until you're back, right? So on the third day, then he's getting fucked off. And then there's this wee guy. Now, in the more mythical legendary stuff, and definitely in 300, this guy, Ephialtes, right, of Trachis, who we'll have a photo of from the movie, Dan. Now, it looks like I have a rager on, right?
Yeah.
That's literally what my Walt looks like when he's excited.
The thing in the movie I remember about him is being like, even though he is the way he is,
yep.
Bro is jacked.
He is jacked because he's trained and all. Now, he wants to be in the Spartan army, and Leonidas is like, all right, mate.
He basically says we can't have a weakness.
Yeah.
One weakness and it ruins everything.
And he's like, I'm not weak. And it's like Leonidas like fucking flicks his ear and he falls.
No, he does this. He goes, I want to be, can I be in this and all? And Leonidas goes, yeah. Lift your shield above your head. Hard to watch.
It is hard to watch.
Hard to watch.
It's like, do you know what he always reminds me of? Do you remember that old joke, the Peter Beardsley joke? You know, Kevin Keegan goes into Newcastle's dressing room and goes, we're going to be doing some transfers here this season. There's going to be some new faces coming in here. Peter Beardsley goes, can I get one, boss? Great banter. So, Ephialtes of Beardsley, he is a Greek who, when the Spartans won't let him join in the fun, goes to Xerxes and says, here, you know where you've got this bottleneck here and you're getting fucking rid to death and you're getting pissy about it now? There's a wee shepherd track that I know of that sort of goes up here. See up out there on a mountain, it just looks like a mountain. And you're thinking you can't take your army through there. You can take a few lads back there.
Yep.
And he goes, right, show me. So Ephialtes shows Xerxes, Xerxes' guys, how to get round the back of the Spartans. And on the fourth day, that's what happens. They get round the back of them and they basically get pincered down from both sides. They still put up a fucking good fight. So overall casualties after like 4 days of this fight.
Sorry, how bad does Ephialtes feel about it though in the end?
I think in the movie he feels pretty bad, but I think in real life he probably got fucking paid.
Oh, why?
But then we've done a couple of stories like that where people get paid off, probably feel pretty shit after it anyway. But a couple of the Spartans get away to basically tell Themistocles, here, they're coming, by the way. And but overall casualties in 4 days, this is the third time I've tried to say this. Spartans and the Greeks basically lose about 4,000 at this battle, and the Persians lose about 20,000. So that's like that's a fucking win, right?
And it's all though wee Ephialtes.
Yeah, he's a wee dick, right?
But do you think if it hadn't been for him, if this is true, right?
Historical wee dick.
And hadn't been for him. Do you think, how much longer do you think they could have gone? Because, like you say, it's a suicide mission. They're not going to be able to keep, they're not going to win.
They're not going to win, but I think they could have gone longer if they weren't attacked from behind. But then it's also like,
how long, when you're...
Is Ephialtes totally real?
Put yourself in this situation. If you were being taken from behind, how long do you think you'd last?
Days. Days, not weeks.
Oh, do you mean like, yeah, is he
so
real?
Like, is he real or is he like a...
Device?
A literary device, because his name then becomes synonymous with nightmare.
Having an Ephialtes?
Yeah.
When was the last time you had an Ephialtes?
Do you mean like a bad dream or like a nightmare?
Not like a nightmare, like... bound to be with time.
Well, I think a day or two, that's harsh. I've been very good with time recently. I've been late once, I think, and it was to here last time where you made me apologise for wasting everyone's time. But
no more so than your own.
And I think, do you know what? I was having an Effie Altys with a fucking boiler in a new house, but I think I sorted it out.
Right.
Do you know what? I think I sorted it out. Do you know what that is for me? Whatever the opposite of an Effie Altys is.
Yeah.
I had a fucking Leonidas.
Right.
With this.
Dan, see when he texts the group in a week, he's like, I can't come in because my whole house is like flooded. Put the curb music over it.
Yeah. Also, please don't go, here's Twank having a Leonidas and it's my wee face. You know, on top of the guy's body with a wee fucking worm hanging now. So, so is FLD's real, whatever, but I think they would have lasted longer if this shepherd's path hadn't been discovered. Now, the Greeks bugger off down to, a couple of Spartans get away and they go and tell Themistocles they're going to be coming in from Thermopylae. And Themistocles says, let's retreat from Artemisium, where they were giving them a good fucking fight. Let's retreat from there and let's clear Greece. So they sort of retreat all the way through Greece to the island of Salamis. This is like, they are evacuating Greece, like. And Persia, the Persians are raking through Greece. They even take over the abandoned city of Athens. And then
so they get everyone to leave?
They get everyone to leave. But then Themistocles comes up with a plan to let's attack the Persian fleet that are bringing supplies and reinforcements. Let's hit them hard as fuck.
So the Persians are coming like this. The Greeks come back, but then they might be going like that.
Yeah, yeah. So in the sea, they come around the side. They absolutely destroy the Persian fleet at Salamis. And Xerxes is like, right, fucked it. Fucked it. It's time to go home. It's the equivalent of being on a night out and you see your mate getting glass and you go,
That's me. Yep.
So he goes, right.
I mean, my first thought would be protect my mate, but
my first thought is Esperanto. So he Gilgamesh, I don't know, that's not even there anymore. Anyway, so it was a kebab place.
I didn't even know what Esperanto was. You know what?
It was a kebab place. I wouldn't have even gone to either of them. Isn't that mental?
Yeah.
Don't eat kebabs. Anyway, I was trying to stick with a Greek-Turkish vibe. Anyway, so so Xerxes loses the Battle of Salamis and goes, fuck. Some people will say the Battle of Salamis, by the way, because that's the way it's spelled.
Right.
False. You've seen the Spartans don't really have Salamis. They have more like chipolatas. So they lose that battle. The Greeks win that battle. And Xerxes retreats, now literally lost. When he retreated, he ended up leaving a load of the Persian army, like his mercenary army, in Greece and throughout the fucking, Turkey and all the Bosporus, basically across the Aegean into Turkey, and he just buggered off straight back to Asia and left all these people. And I mean, loads of them died through, like, starvation and fucking, like, because they had nothing.
Right.
An army runs on its fucking stomach and they had no more supplies.
Right.
So that loads of them died. And the Greeks then basically all go back to their cities. And it's like, here, fuck Persia. And then you're into this period then from about 470, 10 years after this. Only a few years after this, not even 10 years, 4 or 5 years later, you get into this period known as the Pentacontatea, which is this...
What do you call me?
Which is a... 50-year Cold War, lots of little issues going on. So like between Athens and Sparta, because the Athenians had their they had like the what did you call it now? So there was the Spartans had the Delian League, and Athens had the the Ionian fucking what was it called?
That thing where they all like. They put their names on a stone and dropped it.
Yeah, yeah. So they would like pay tribute. So in the same way that Sparta had this, you know, and the word Spartan sort of describes like things that are usually like sparse and fucking, you know, because that was their lifestyle. The Athenian lifestyle was to have a big city for this time. But obviously the thing with urban centres is you can't grow food there. So you have to bring it in from outside. So there was too many people living in Attica and Athens to, like, too many people living there needing to be fed. So Athens would get wheat and stuff like that in from outside of Athens to feed their people.
Right.
From all these other islands in the Aegean and other states. I just can't think of the name of that. Was it the Athenian League? I think that's literally what it's called. So imagine, like, this is like, you know, the Down and Connor League versus the, you know, the Lisburn League.
Aye.
So
they're basically being like, they're doing a run to the shop, but they're not asking Sparta if they want anything.
Yeah, well, Sparta has its own shit. They have their own allies. So there's like a whole load of Spartan allies, all little cities and towns. And there's a whole load of the Athenian ones. And there, you know, this is where you get into, like, so say, like, there's a row between an ally of Sparta and an ally of Athens. Well, Athens and Sparta line up on opposite sides that wee row as well. This goes on for about 50 years, literally like the Cold War. Two big superpowers sort of not really fighting each other in open battle, but sort of like, you know, going like leaning around the side of other people going,
yeah, right? You going to smack him?
Yeah, yeah. Who fucking, if you smack him, I'm going to smack you. And then if you smack me, I'm going to fucking smack you.
That's my mate.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to fucking ride your dad, right? All that. And so that went on for about 50 years. And then 427, you get that kind of, or 431, Dan, you going to tell me the Peloponnesian?
I wasn't going to say anything, but...
Is it, look up a Peloponnesian War now.
It doesn't matter what
it matters to me. It matters to me. I know you don't care about dates. I believe it's 427 to 404, but some people will say it's 431 to 404. I think it really kicked off in 427. That's when it got bad.
Wikipedia says 431 to 404.
Okay. First year uni. Have I mentioned?
Yes.
Quub. That's where I went. QB. So that war went on for 27 years. That was a massive split then in Greece between Sparta and Athens. Sparta essentially won that war. And then Athens had this terrible period where it was ruled by 30 tyrants.
We're a long way from Thermopylae now.
No, I'm just saying this is the path of history, Dan.
Okay.
No, it all sort of stems from... This is the destruction of that pan-Hellenic fucking...
But what was
we're all good together into this fucking row.
But wasn't there a fallout from the battle? Like, didn't Sparta say... What was Sparta's beef with Athens after? Because in the film, they make it seem like Athens didn't come straight away to back up Sparta.
I think the loss of the Spartan king was a problem for them. I also think that there's that going to be that suspicion that, you know... Oh, well, if Themistocles had fucking sent more people.
There were two people who survived.
Yeah.
The battle. And one was an envoy who went to other Greek nations to try and get them to send troops.
Yeah.
And the other was a guy...
He's in the movie. The other guy's a real gruff cunt. I can't think of his name.
Yeah. Aristodemus or...
Aristodemus.
Something like that. But the guy, the envoy who'd been sent away, apparently when he heard the result of what had happened, he committed suicide. Just in dishonor of not having been there. And the other guy from the film, he was blind. He like got an infection in his eye and was pretty much blind. But when they have the big fight at Plataea,
that was the other big battle. Yeah, the battle of Plataea. Yeah.
He insists, he's got like a guy who shows him where to go, that he stood in the front line and just swung until someone chopped him down.
I bet you got cleaned out straight away.
I know, yeah, we don't want a weakness here. I'm fine. My perception of depth, which will not help me in spear warfare.
They told him he was at the battle. He was in his back garden. You're on the front line, mate.
Swipe away that fucking ham we've hung up for you. Like fucking, like he's on Forged in Fire. That's one of the weirdest things to do on that show, isn't it? Just cutting up fucking roasts. And then Doug Marchetta, Edge Weapon Specialist. Your blade will cut. Oh, I love that. Did you ever watch it? You've never seen Forged in Fire?
No.
I think you would enjoy it.
What do they make? Weapons?
They make blades, aye. I don't think you would enjoy it.
Okay, what about Themistocles?
Themistocles?
Where's he end up?
I can't remember.
Does he not end up like going to Persia?
I actually can't remember.
Because he gets kicked out of, you know where they've
They do the classic thing, which is like anytime somebody becomes like overexposed in Athens, you know, like he's on the Keelty Show and Jerry Kelly on the same weekend.
Right.
You get gone. You get...
banished for like 10
years. What's the word?
What?
Ostracized. Have I talked about ostracism? Can I please mention this? This is brilliant.
Yeah.
Do you know where the word ostracize comes from?
Austria.
It comes, so...
Ostriches?
Ostriches
getting kicked out of Austria.
Ostracoi are tiny bits of broken pot, right?
Right.
And in Athens, you would write someone's name on it when you're basically deciding who's going to get fucked out. And if you got a certain percentage of the vote, you get fucked out of Athens for 10 years. It was basically like, sort out your affairs by all means. You get like, I think you got like a week or a month or something.
Yeah, it's a week or two.
It was like, here, see in 14 days, business days, you'll be gone. 10 years, we'll see you later. It's been great. And so they did that to a few people. They did it to him. I think they ended up doing it to Pericles as well. He was,
the leader. Father, was it?
Was it? I think they did it to him, though, did they not, during the Peloponnesian War?
In the movie 300, how much of a historical bastard is Dominic West's character?
Which one's he?
Yeah. You're not going to enjoy this.
Oh, that guy, yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Piece of shit. Movie's great, like, it's fun.
It's a fun.
Fun movie.
I was watching it at a time when I was steeped in Herodotus.
Imagine that trip to the cinema. Actually, I think you'll find. Do you want a bit of popcorn? Right at the bottom.
It was a bit like that. Right at the bottom, yeah. I think...
Is there mayonnaise so here, popcorn?
Hit or myth for you?
Kind of hit, but so much of it myth. Like, the whole idea of the story is that there was 300 Spartans there by themselves. I think when you realise it was way more than that... Okay, they were really outnumbered, but...
Still outnumbered by, like, maybe 99 times over.
Yeah.
You know?
Still, like, very impressive if they fought them off for a few days. And ultimately they won. But, you know,
it's the FA Cup story, isn't it? It's having Waterlooville or holding Liverpool at 2-2.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then Liverpool win, you're like, fuck them.
Because they bring on a blind guy. I'm on penalty still. For fuck's sake.
Haven't Waterlooville bringing on a blind guy, but it's like a guy who installs blinds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's not training. Because he's not a full-time soldier.
So they, and the idea in the movie of Xerxes being this like demigod type guy and all that. I think at the core of it, it's a hit, but too much of it for me is a myth. So I'm going to say myth.
I'm going to veer on the side of hit here and say I think the numbers are misleading. But I'm going to say I believe the battle happened. I believe...
Yeah, same. But I just think the story has become more myth than
there's a lot of bullshit hanging around it, I think. But I believe in Herodotus, and I believe in... It's good. I would literally say this, right? There are three or four historical documents that I think are actually, like, exciting to read. Herodotus.
Now, don't say Mein Kampf.
No. Herodotus' histories of this time are actually, there's a lot of good shit in there.
Horrible.
Thucydides' Peloponnesian War is fucking brilliant. Caesar's Conquest of Gaul is fucking brilliant. And Aeneas the Tactician, Siegecraft, is fucking brilliant.
I must get them.
I could literally lend you all of them, but I know I won't get them back. You'll burn them on me or something. Suetonius' 12 Caesars is also very good, but it's a wee bit dry in places.
Yeah.
But
that'd be the croutons.
In the Caesar salad.
Yeah.
That's good.
Do you know where Caesar salad comes from?
I've heard a story about this where it's a chef who was called Caesar, who like made it up.
Do you want to know where it comes from?
On Wikipedia.
Do you want to know where it comes from?
I don't.
Do you? Google it. Guys, thank you for joining us for this episode of...
It was a hit.
Myth stories. Hit. I'm going to say it's hit, but I just mean there's a lot of elements of myth.
A hit?
Well, yeah, I didn't know what episode, what order we're going to put these out, but sure, this is the last episode in the series.
Series one. It's been emotional.
The series that's
in
many ways, not rewriting, but reimagining history.
I think it's putting a modern understanding into historical events and questioning. Because this is something that you don't really get to do in school, for instance. You just have to sit there and go, write dates, names, places.
Yeah.
Instead of going, did he I? Which is an important question. Did they I?
Mm-hmm.
The Spartans did this, did they I? Joan of Arc did that, did she? Aye.
What's been your favourite episode of this whole series?
I loved talking about this. I loved the Joan of Arc episode because I knew fuck all about it.
See,
and I feel like I walked away with actually a bit of a grip on that.
Yeah.
And
I like Lost City of Atlantis. It was good.
I enjoyed that one.
Can I say the one that I think, if we're ranking them, I still don't understand the Wild West shootout one. You're right. Like, yeah, these guys shot at each other and this guy died.
An important
because we've got like the Titanic, the Lost City of Atlantis, Joan of Arc. These guys having a wee shootout in America, you know?
The OK Corral.
Also, we don't have the Titanic.
Did we not do one on Titanic?
Let's hear. Series 2?
Well, look, we can't say too much at this point. It's a bit like when that guy made Squid Games.
I did a stage freeze there and nobody else did.
When that guy made Squid Games, he goes, there's no plans to do another one. But he didn't close the door. History Channel, National Geographic, get in touch. Send us to places. We will sell out like that. We will take the dough, no problem.
I thought you meant it would sell tickets out wherever we go, but I'm also up for selling out.
Could there be alive mysteries from some sort of
Pals. Hidden
monastery?
Treasures. There's treasures monastery. Somewhere you want us to talk about going after them?
If you have a tip on treasures, comment below and let us know.
Imagine me being in a boat, controlling stuff on a screen while he dives for it. Imagine that.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what it's going to be.
This has been great.
Silver tipped into a lake or something, you know what I mean?
It's been
gold thrown into an old fucking mineshaft during like a, you know.
That's a game all the kids playing.
Well, gold in the mineshaft.
Mineshaft.
Oh, mineshaft.
That's what they call it in Germany. Yeah. Guys, thank you very much for watching, for listening. Will this be back? I dare say it will.
It's
been a blast. Cheers to Dan for putting it all together.
For Fosty as well. Can't be with us today.
Fosty can't be with us today. Went to Texas on a stag.
Fleck got cancelled.
The man's in bits. Yep. The man's in a worse state than, and let's link it back to this episode somehow.
He's in a worse state than Effie Altys after a fucking night on the town. Like after Effie Altys went out with all that Persia money,
yeah,
and fucking did a week in Persia. Yeah. He's in a worse state.
He's in a worse state than Effie Altys big. Shout out to Effie Altys. Historical TG. HTG, historical tragic, yeah. Wasn't his fault. Guys, thank you for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you again in some form. In the meantime, Kieran Bartlett's No Blasters podcast, my podcast, Tea With Me, if you want to keep getting that fix. I think we've done something special here. Cheers to everyone for joining us on the journey. Kieran, any last words?
It's been a blast. I've had a great time.